As the shepherd boys were guarding their flocks, the birth of Jesus was announced by angels with the words, "Peace on earth, goodwill toward men." This wasn't a new idea. Many Old Testament prophecies, specifically those in the book of Isaiah, refer to the Messiah's mission of bringing peace to our planet. Jesus came to bring peace on earth. But in the 2,000 years since that historic event, peace has eluded us. Our nation is at war with another nation. Our nation is at war with itself over the validity of this war. Fighting continues in Iraq, Afghanistan, and Pakistan, in Africa and Asia, and the threat of war continues elsewhere. Our planet doesn't know peace. This evening we'll see that even though peace hasn't yet come to pass on a political level or on an international level, it can be experienced on a personal level. You can know God's peace in your life regardless of all that's happening in the world around you. Our nation is embroiled in conflict, yet you can experience peace. Our economy is struggling and uncertain, yet you can experience peace. There may be turmoil at the office or conflict in your home, yet you can experience peace, God's peace. Peace that Paul describes as peace that passes understanding. This evening we'll look at some verses in Isaiah, verses about the last days. And when people hear the term last days, they usually think of the Left Behind series and things like the rapture and tribulation and all that scary stuff that's supposed to happen. In reality, those aren't the last days. They're the next to the last days. The real last days are described in Isaiah 2, and there's nothing at all scary about them. Listen to these verses, verses 2 through 5. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Many people will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, so that we may walk in his paths." The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Come, O house of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. These verses teach that God's plan for this planet is that we learn to live in peace with one another. It will happen. It's a promise. And until the day we see it on a global level, we can experience it on a personal level. These verses teach us how to experience God's peace. There are three things I want you to notice. Three steps to experiencing God's peace. First of all, learn to walk in His presence. Learn to walk in His presence. Isaiah says in verse 5 here, "Come, O house of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord." He's saying, even though some of the promises here haven't yet been fulfilled, learn now to walk in the light of the Lord in anticipation of what God plans to do in the future. When you live in God's presence, you begin to experience peace. But what does it mean to live in His peace or walk in His light? First of all, it means acknowledging His presence. When you wake up in the morning, God is there with you. As you go through your morning routine, making coffee, preparing breakfast, getting ready for work, getting the kids ready for school, reading the paper, and so on, He is there with you. The sooner that you acknowledge His presence each day, the sooner you begin to experience His peace. I don't know what life's like for you, but when I wake up, the first thoughts that come to my mind are anything but peaceful. Like a tidal wave, they hit me. You got this financial crisis to deal with. You got this project to finish. And you're late. And you got to confront this person. And you got to solve this problem. And how much further will that dollar drop today? For many of us, these thoughts come rushing in the moment we open our eyes. And it is precisely at that moment that we must learn to say, Father, I acknowledge and welcome Your presence in my life. You are here with me right now. And I give this day and all of its challenges to You. Walking in God's light also means obviously practicing obedience. It is impossible to experience God's peace when your number one priority is sin. To experience peace, there is a sacrifice we must be willing to make. We must stop doing what does not please God and start doing what does. Sometimes we want to have it both ways. We want God's peace and we want to hang out with our favorite sins. We want God's peace and we also want to gossip. We want God's peace and we also want to get revenge. We want God's peace, and we also want to watch TV 8 hours a day, and on. To experience God's peace, you have to make a choice to live your way or His way. When you consider the power of God's peace, the choice is easy to make. If you want to experience God's peace in your life, then make an effort to walk in His light. Acknowledge His presence in all that you do all day, every day. Secondly, become a student of His ways. Become a student of His ways. Verse 3 here. Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us His ways, so that we may walk in His paths. I've always been taught that Bible study was an academic or intellectual endeavor. You learned the order of the books of the Bible. You wrote each one, the historical setting, the summary of the book's content, and so on. And of course, these things are important to know. But there's more to it than that. The real purpose of Bible study is not to acquire information, but to experience transformation. The real purpose of Bible study, as Isaiah indicates, to learn His ways so that we may walk in His paths. We need to have a daily quiet time, a Bible study and prayer in which we read a passage of Scripture, write a summary of what we have read, then, and most important of all, write a personal application of that passage for our lives. When I read a passage on showing patience, for example, which isn't very likely that I'm going to find one of those, I'm probably going to avoid most of the patient passages, but I have to be challenged to examine my heart and life. In what areas of my life do I need to show more patience? What do I need to do to take this command seriously and put it to work in my life? If you ain't living it, you ain't learned it. In order to experience God's peace, we need to learn His word so we can learn His way, so we can walk in His paths. It's an amazing principle. Knowledge is only useful when you apply it in your life. In order to experience God's peace, we need to become not just students of God's Word, but more specifically, students of His way. The distinction between the two is that God doesn't want us to merely acquire information, but to experience transformation. He wants us to live what we learn. King David said in Psalm 119, verses 33 through 35, "Teach me, O Lord, to follow your decrees, then I will keep them to the end. Give me understanding, and I will keep your law and obey it with all my heart. Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight." In Psalm 16:11, "You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." Joy and peace come not from just knowing what is right, but from doing what is right. If he ain't living it, he ain't learned it. Do you want to experience God's peace? Become a student of his ways. Learn to apply the Word of God to your daily life. Thirdly, to experience God's peace this Christmas, let go of conflict. Let go of conflict. Isaiah says that God's ultimate plan for the nations is that here in verse 4, they will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Isaiah says that there will come a day when nations no longer train for war, because it won't be necessary to train for war, because no nation will be at risk of attack from another nation. Clearly, that's not the way it is today, but someday God says things will be different. Someday all the nations of the world will understand that conflict is a waste of time. I don't know when that will happen on a global scale, but it can begin happening in your heart today. If God's ultimate plan is that a nation will not take up a sword against another nation, it stands to reason that his plan for us as individuals is that we will not take up sword against one another, that we will let go of conflict and learn to live together in peace. As you read the writings of Paul in the New Testament, you hear this theme again and again. Remember in Romans 15, verses 5 and 6, we just completed our study in the book of Romans. But remember this passage. "May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Ephesians 4:3, "Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace." 1 Thessalonians 5:13, "Live in peace with each other." Romans 12:18, "If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone." God wants his people to live together in peace. He wants us to get along. We cannot experience his peace within our hearts as long as we're intent upon stirring up conflict with others. Something I have learned is that most interpersonal conflicts are about insignificant things. If we'll just let it go, we'll feel a whole lot better, and so will everyone else. A while back, a friend of mine said, "Last night I had a huge fight with my wife, and we're not speaking to one another, and it's all her fault." And I said, "My gosh, what did she do? You know, have an affair? Clean out your bank account? become a Clemson fan? And he said, no, we were supposed to meet for dinner together at Olive Garden, and she showed up 25 minutes late and didn't even bother to call first. My friend said she has no respect for my time. She thinks my entire life should be built around waiting for her. I said, so when she finally showed up, how was the meal? How was your evening together? He said, it was terrible, of course. We fought and fought, and then we ate in silence. And I asked, why is it necessary to fight over her being late? He said, I don't like being taken advantage of. And I said, isn't your wife late for everything? I don't think you should take it personally that she didn't make it to Olive Garden on time last night. And he said, I can't just tolerate her excessive lateness anymore. I said, not tolerating it isn't working very well, is it? He admitted that it wasn't, and I asked him, is a 25-minute delay in your schedule worth 2 or 3 days of marital misery? And he said, no. And I said, then let go of it. Now, this may sound like a radical idea, tolerating other people's faults, but it works, and it's God's way. Paul says, Colossians 3:12, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. God called us to live together in peace. In order to experience His peace in your life, you must be willing to be an agent of His peace to the world around you. In the last days, God says we will experience peace, world peace. Nations will live together in harmony, and war will be a thing of the past. When this will happen, we don't know. In the meantime, God is filling the world with peace, one heart at a time. Those who learn to walk in His light, who become lifelong students of His ways, who let go of conflict and seek peace with others, they experience His peace in their lives. A peace that is not dependent upon political stability, but on the presence of God in your life. He wants you to experience His peace today.